Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, let's figure out this hands-free thing quick. Mike in Minneapolis, do you have any advice for me?
A couple of things, Mike. Voice command.
Yeah.
And Velcro.
Velcro.
Yep.
Velcro's better than a magnet, you mean?
Oh, God, yes. Yeah. I got so tired of the magnet thing.
So you tried it, huh?
Yep. And the thing, you know, the holder that you can stick into your air vent, you know,
yeah.
Falls off. The suction cup on the windshield, eventually those fall off.
Oh, boy.
Velcro. Huh?
Just, so I might just be out $30 to have to go get it.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy, that's not what I wanted to hear. But how do I remove my password? Because I always got to hit my password just to get into it.
I don't know.
You only got the Velcro thing figured out, right?
Your phone, dude.
All right. Thank you for that. Let's go to Jerry quickly in Apple Valley. Jerry, you're on.
I think I've got it for you, Mike. I'm surprised it didn't come to you.
Yeah. What?
Darkly tinted windows.
Yep. I get it. I like it. Now you're thinking the way I think.
No, I am. Thank
you. Thanks for the call. Dick Jankowski, what are you going to do in this hands-free cell phone era?
Thank you very much for asking that. Yeah. I'm in trouble all the time with my family because I have in the past talked to her when I was driving. I've cut way back on that now because the hands-free, I don't know how I'm gonna, I don't know what I'll do. I just won't answer any phones or use a phone. I can't because they'll be looking for me.
Well, every time you look down to answer it or whatever, you're looking down, which defeats the purpose of being hands-free, right?
Well, absolutely. You know, it's like they say, no smoking or we're a smoke-free building. Does that mean you get the cigarettes, you don't have to pay for them?
I don't know. It's like, you know, it's the strangest thing. I was on Highway, well, it was 94, actually.
Right.
By Fargo, and it said deer crossing. And I thought, why would you want deer to cross here? Because it's really busy with traffic. But then this thing said deer crossing, you know?
That's great.
And I'm thinking, why would you do that? Because this is busy traffic area. Why would you have a deer crossing here?
Oh, that's very true.
Yeah.
That's very true. Like, why is there an expiration date on sour cream? You know, just crazy stuff
crazy
when you think about
like
it.
It just happens when you think about it, you know?
Oh, man. You drive in a parkway and park in a driveway. You know,
yeah, why would you do that, right?
That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy.
Yeah, why do you park in a driveway and drive in a parkway? Yeah, yeah. That's the kind of stuff that you're able to experience in life and bring to us.
That's right. Exactly. I agree.
Yeah, I agree. Why are the cigarettes at the, behind the counter when you walk into a drugstore and the pharmacy's in the back? You know?
Yeah.
Well, when we go preventive medicine first, you know?
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
Yeah,
I'll tell you, downtown, I was like, I walked up here, I took the light rail, walked up the street, a guy stopped me on the street, he says, he said, you give me $1 for a sandwich. I said, I don't know, let me see the sandwich. All right.
I had this guy come up to me the other day, he says, anybody ever tell you look like Mike Max from WCCO? And I said, all the time. He says, you must hate that when that happens.
Very good. Very good.
Oh, yeah. Dick Jankowski in studio. The name of the book is It's All About Me, Dick Jankowski, A Minnesota Treasure, written by Jim Bruton, the book. And you've made the rounds on this thing already. What's been the reaction?
I would say it's been extremely, extremely good.
Yeah.
Really. We ordered that. We had to order.
Really?
Excuse me. We had to order 1,500 originally. We had to order another 500.
That's kind of a minimum order?
Minimum order. We had another 500 a month and a half ago. So it has been going well, and I've gotten great, great help from the media. And, of course, you did a nice job, very nicely, by the way, on the forward. Joe Buck, of course, who married my niece, he did the forward also.
Yeah, he did the All-Star game last night.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
But you both did a great job. And on the back cover, Rick Barry, Jim Brunzel, all the different guys that have given me nice tributes. And it's really helped a lot.
How did you get a bear hug from the Hulk Hogan?
Well, I used to be a ring announcer for Vern Gagne.
Okay, what was it like to work for Vern?
Well, it was tough because Vern was a tough guy to work for. I love the guy as a
person.
You
mean a tough negotiator or what?
No, he was pretty strict. Yep. You know, that I had to deal with Wally Carbo, Vern Gagne, and Greg Gagne, really. They're all good guys, but I never knew what was going to happen in the ring because one would tell me one thing, one would tell me another. All the Wally Carbo would ever say is, get out of the ring, get out of the ring, they're going to go crazy. And that's about how it was.
But are you saying that some of this stuff is pre-planned?
So I think it might be. But it's worth it.
But you better have the right plan.
I was thrown out of the ring by the Road Warriors at the St. Paul Civic Center. 18,000 people. I landed on the cement. Played like I hit my head, but I did not hit my head. I got up and started feeling for blood on my forehead. Jeff was real young at the time, maybe 8 or something like that. And he had a front row seat every time I did the announcing.
Yeah.
He jumped up on his chair and hollered, Dad, you big phony. You big phony.
He thought you were faking?
The people loved it. The people loved it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Dick, you have traveled the country, and you've called games and emceed banquets and done all those kinds of things. What is it that sports means to you at the end of the day?
Well, I would say that it's always been one of my top priorities, and sometimes people say, Dick, it is your top priority. As a kid in high school, I didn't really study at all because I was a fairly good athlete, and I thought, well, I don't have to study. They'll pass me. Well, I found out very quickly, and you won't believe this, Mike, because nobody does when I go and speak to schools. I failed 3 subjects my freshman year that I had to take over in my sophomore year, and consequently, I only had 1 study hall throughout my entire high school career, and so yep. I really had a lot of problems that way also.
What do you mean?
Well, I did have everybody else had 2 study halls. Some kids had 3, but because I had to take those subjects over, and I also wasn't eligible for basketball half the season my sophomore year. Because of that.
Really?
Yeah. Nobody believes that, but it's true.
Why? How'd you overcome it?
Well, I realized finally that I had to study in order to get through school.
Yeah.
You know, when I graduated, every teacher I had, every single one, said, Dick, we hope you get a job in sports because you don't care about anything else. And they were absolutely, that's very true. I've been very lucky.
I think that as we evolve as a society, one of the things, and all the stories that I've done about education and whatnot, that strikes me that I believe to be true, is that as a society, I don't think there's anybody's fault, but we have, I think there's a lot of kids that are perfectly capable of learning, but not in the traditional way. They have to be taught a different way to get it to register. And I don't know what the answer is to this. There are certainly special schools that address just that, you know.
Right.
That each kid has to learn a different way. And if you have dyslexia, it's different than if you don't. And lots of things like that. If you have ADHD, it's different than if you don't, all those things. But I think in 100 years we'll look back and think, boy, do we do a disservice to kids because we didn't recognize. We just wanted a template and a boilerplate. And this is nobody's fault.
Right.
Everything evolves and improves. But I think that it's much more specific than that to reach a kid. What do you think?
No, I agree 100%. I think that there's a lot lacking all the way through. A great example, and I go back to athletics. When I was in New Prague High School, we had a lot of farm kids. So what happens? They can't go out for sports because they had to do chores every day.
Yep, and then you had to harvest the plants.
That's harvest. Yep. And we're in the Phi Ed class. I'll never forget it. A guy by the name of Ben Stika, who now lives in Lonsdale, I was the quarterback at our football team at Phi Ed. I said, Ben, can you run? He said, I can outrun any ball you throw.
Yeah.
And I thought, yeah, you bet you can. I threw the ball as far as I could. I could throw it 50 yards in high school.
Could you?
Yeah. And he ran under it and caught it.
No problem.
Oh, he was unbelievable with his speed, the way he could run.
Wow.
Amazing. And, you know, you look back at all those things. And of course, I had all my heroes, and just like you and I, you do too, the guys you looked up to. As a kid, Stan Musial was my all-time baseball star.
Yeah, Stan the man.
Richie Ashburn, those guys like that. In basketball, it's Stockton and Pete Maravich, Rick Barry, whoever. And I admire these guys. And as the book, you'll see in the book, a lot of pictures with them, a lot of stories about guys I've worked with, including Roy Rogers, Red Skelton, people like that. And most people don't know that.
You've also been a minister for a wedding, and the person that you married was a famous person. We'll talk about that next. Welcome back. Dick Jankowski in the studio. Henry Lake coming up at 9 o'clock. The Twins and Indians tomorrow, 5:30 pregame, 6 o'clock first pitch. John Hines and I will throw it around tomorrow at 7:40 and 8:40. Dave Mona, Sid Hartman and I will throw it around 9:30 to 11 on Sunday with the Twins playing a touch early, being in the Eastern time zone. fun stuff. I'm sorry. So you're in Mancini's, and what happened?
Well, yeah, I do a lot of things for Mancini's, yeah. as you know. Their Hall of Fame and other things. And this couple is having supper at Mancini's. And all of a sudden, the man slides down his chair and under the table. So the waiter sees this, and he walks over to the lady and said, "Ma'am, your husband just slid under the table." She said, "No, my husband just walked in the door."
These are just the crazy things that happen when you're out and about, huh?
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Rick Berry is a frequent guest on this show. His son is playing for the Timberwolves summer team right now.
Yeah.
He is an incredibly, has a high basketball IQ, and his son shoots free throws the same way he does, underhand.
Yeah.
You've gotten to know him quite well over the years.
Yeah.
Why has he not been in organized basketball more?
Well, I you know, he's very opinionated. You're right. Right now, he's coaching a team in the summer league, mm-hmm. and he's doing very well.
Is he really?
Oh yeah, he's doing very well. He's such a I got to know him actually. Well, first of all, I hauled him around in 1967 when I was working for the Muskies. He made a trip all around the ABA because he couldn't play that year. He's ineligible, but he went to every city. And somebody had to take him to different places. So I was elected. I was a young kid. I was only 24. And I hauled him all over the Twin City area. And we became pretty good friends. You know, we talked about all the great stuff. And he's the only player ever, of course, to win the NCAA scoring title, the ABA scoring title, and the NBA scoring title. The only guy in history.
Well, he could shoot it now.
And so now, every birthday, his birthday is March 28th, mine is October 22nd, we call each other every year without fail.
On each other's birthday?
Yes. Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mentioned that you officiated, people don't know this about you, a wedding ceremony. And this was not just any wedding ceremony. It wasn't Humphrey's Kardashian.
No, no.
I know the guy did that one too, by the way. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, you're good. Yeah.
But you did Joe Buck's.
Yes. Fortunately, in Mexico.
Yeah, he just did the game the other night, and of course we know him from Fox NFL and all
yeah.
that he does.
Yeah, Joe's
How
good
in
guy.
The world did Joe Buck ever bring in Dick Jankowski to officiate his wedding?
Well, it was real easy because he invited my niece.
Aha!
And I think it was my niece's idea before Joe's because Joe didn't know me that well. But they didn't need a minister in Mexico because they did come back to the States and have a minister do it. But I was supposed to make it kind of fun and make it an interesting time. And it was great. We had Jones was there, of course, Jerry Jones. We had Tony Romo, Tim McCarver, Troy Aikman, and many other celebrities
really?
Out on the sand on the beach where the wedding took place.
Really?
And it was great. It was just really the nicest thing, the way they did it. And everybody was dressed in white. It was just a very unusual setting, but I was happy to do it. I was not crazy the whole time. I actually had some fun with it, but I also was pretty serious about the vows because they both cried. And it was really, if you'd see the video.
Joe Buck cried?
Yes, he did. He did. He cried like a little baby.
Now, this was not his first wedding either, was it?
No, he was married one other time.
Okay. Yeah. And he and your niece met where?
Oh, actually, they met at a party, a Super Bowl party, I believe it was.
Things.
And she was working for ESPN.
Yeah.
And she met him, and she didn't like him at first. She thought he was very arrogant. She said, I don't want to talk to the guy. I never want to see him again. And then for some reason, they got together, and they started dating, and the rest is history, I guess.
And that's been a few years now, huh?
Yeah, it has been.
What's been the craziest thing that you've ever had a chance to do?
Craziest?
Yeah, because some of these things are kind of crazy that you get to do.
I don't think I dare say it, do
you
I?
You get thrown out of the ring and the All-Star Wrestling.
Well, I've done everything. I did the Shakopee Women's Reformatory. I did the Gong Show.
You did?
I sure did. The days of Chuck Barris. Remember him? Remember that show?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
So how did they format this?
This is the old days of the old reformatory.
Okay.
So they had guards. I went into the ice. I did it in the isolation ward. And they had two guys with machine guns standing there when I went in. And there were
Wait,
30.
Now, are you alone or do you got...
Alone in the show itself.
Who else did the... Did you have a gonger and a guy
I had somebody that actually worked in the reformatory. But I thought to myself, how can I ever make this interesting? So I started out, I said, well, it's great to have a captured audience. And, it worked really well. It really was perfect. And then they laughed. And these girls, some of them very talented. I'm surprised some of them weren't magicians, so they could have disappeared and gotten out of there. But they were singers. They were just about everything.
Come on.
I'm serious.
And did you have back and forth with them?
A little bit.
I mean, did you?
They didn't want me to say too much, though, because these girls are always trying to get out of there.
So the reason was just to give them a break from
Yeah, just kind of a
monotony,
fun thing.
Or what?
To show their talent, that there is talent also behind bars.
So they were doing a talent show, too, or what?
Yeah. They did a talent show, and I'd call on them, and they get gonged, or just like the regular show.
I see. So they
just like the regular show.
A shtick, and then you'd either gong them or not.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's a little nerve wracking though when they slam the door and then you see the guys out there with the machine guns. But it worked out well.
Now that is an interesting story.
That is.
And they seem happy. They seem what?
Well, they were. They were happy as heck to kind of perform and show that they could do something else besides what they were actually in prison for. So it was, I enjoyed that. That's several years ago now, because now that the prison they have now, you can see why nobody wants to break out, because it's like a college dormitory. It's really neat if you ever get a chance to tour.
It's neat?
Very nice.
What do you mean?
They've got gymnasiums. They've got everything that a college dorm would have, and they all work. They have jobs that they have to do each day. It's really an unusual place. You get a chance, you should probably try to get over there. I'm the only one who ever got caught trying to break into the reformatory.
Well, if you want to call somebody in there, you got to reach them on a cell phone. A cell phone.
Good line. I love it. I used that the other day, and nobody even remembered. I couldn't believe it.
How do you feel about the state of Minnesota sports right now?
Well, I say overall, it's I still announced the state softball tournament, state baseball, state basketball, boys and girls, and there's some great athletes. It's different today than it was, of course, when you and I played. It's amazing, like strikeouts in softball. I do the state softball tournament. Holy cow! It's amazing that some of these guys. The way the pitchers
because
are.
Because pitchers have gotten so good.
Oh, they're so good. It's amazing. And baseball, too.
Great complex down there, Mankato, the way they hold that.
Yes, it is. And I, of course, very fortunate, thanks to the high school league, that I'm able to do the games all at CHS Field, the 4A, and then I do all four championship games at Target Field. So it really is a real thrill every year for me to go up there and really to show my wares, so to speak. But most people know who I am. But I love seeing the kids' faces when they walk out on the field for infield practice. It's just amazing.
All right. When we come back, how Dick Jankowski changed the face of the NFL. That's next. Welcome back. Dick Jankowski, you have a website?
What'd you say?
You have a website?
Yes. Website is right. That's
what
how
is
you,
it?
Best way to get the book. I said if you're ordering it from me, you can call me anytime or you can come to my house. But it's called thepolisheagle.com, naturally, my nickname. And my son-in-law, Matt Ike, he takes care of it. They order the book. It goes to me. I sign it and send it out.
Really?
Yeah, that's how it works.
It's working well that way?
Yeah, it's great. Matt's doing a great job. Outstanding.
Oh, wow.
People,
it's
get,
simple.
I think all our listeners, I think you'll enjoy it. You'll probably be surprised at all the things that I've been involved in over the years. Like actually just talking about some of the other crazy
Southwest
things.
State Marshall, you were a fixture there at that golf tournament for years.
I did that for several years.
Back when I was in my 20s, I used to go to that.
Yeah, I know you did.
I don't know if they still do it anymore or not.
I don't think it doesn't like it used to be. Not quite that same thing.
Yeah, they used to do it at big time, remember?
Yeah. Yeah, it was really great. Now, great
those
time.
Those were some times, buddy.
I know it.
Yeah.
You and I have been on many, many programs together. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, we have. Yeah.
Holy cow. When
the
I look back.
The opening act, the closing act, everything in between, right?
Just about everything you
what
think
What did you
of.
Think of Jesse Ventura over the years? You've done a lot with him.
I got along great with Jesse. Of course, I announced him in the ring. That's how I first met him.
Yes, you had a bond.
I announced him in the ring, and then I did that big thing. Remember 900 people when they did the roast for him out at the Prom Center in Oakdale?
Yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger flew in on a private plane. So I saw Jesse. He walks in. And he starts smiling. I said, what are you so happy about, Jesse? Because we're roasting you? No. He said, I bought a jigsaw puzzle. I put it together in 2 weeks. I said, what's so great about that? He said, on the box, it said 4 to 6 years.
No. Oh, God. Those are just some of the things that happen to a guy as he goes through life. You run into things like that.
Absolutely.
Funny things. Now, I said you changed the course of the NFL. You did.
Yes,
I did.
The
Vikings are playing the Cowboys. And you decided to kick one of the Dallas Cowboys?
Well, it was December 28th, 1975, the famous Hail Mary play. But the play before that, it was 4th and 17. Staubach went back and threw the ball to Drew Pearson. Pearson came down out of bounds, and the referee ruled that Nate Wright shoved him out, that he would have come down in bounds. And Jack Whitaker from CBS was standing right there. He said, that's a terrible call. And I thought the same thing, and I'm 2 feet from him. So I kicked the bottom of Drew Pearson's shoe, just a sissy kick. If you look on YouTube, it's a sissy kick. But Tom Landry's wife saw it from the stands.
And by the way, people probably don't realize this, but you're wearing a uniform, not a football uniform, but a security uniform that had your name on the back.
Jankowski.
So it was indisputable evidence.
Yeah, that's going into the museum, by the way, shortly.
So that
Viking museum
outfit that you're wearing that day is going into the Vikings Hall of Fame.
Yes, it is.
But they also removed you and didn't allow guys to get that close to him, or the NFL ruled on
that. That changed. Right? 2 years, I because the Tom Lambert, she called, she called Pete Rozelle. And Pete said, she said, look at their films. One of their guys kicked Drew Pearson.
And it says Jankowski in the back.
Oh, right. I didn't have a chance.
You didn't have a chance.
Yeah, so I was banished for 2 years from the field, but I could be there, but I couldn't be on the field. So I came back for 1 year, caught a few balls. But I'm so proud.
It wasn't the same, though.
17 years, Maxie. Yeah. 112 field goals caught and 7 passes thrown out of bounds.
Whoa, that's
pretty
good.
Yes.
Dick, we got to let you go, but I thank you for coming in. I thank you for your friendship. And again, if you want to buy the book, where do you find it?
Well, the best is the website, thepolisheagle.com, and I'll get it to you. Just call me if you want one. I think you'll enjoy it. $20, 60 jokes, 48 color photos of a lot of celebrities I worked with. I think you'll enjoy it very much. Maxie, one quick thing. Do I have a second or two?
Yeah, just quick.
Well, you were a great umpire. People forget that. But one night at Hamill, he's umpiring the game. It's midnight, and he's the last car in the lot. He walks out, opens the door, and a guy sticks a gun in his ribs. He says, Mike raised his hands. He says, don't rob me. I'm just a poor umpire. The guy says, I know. I saw the game.
What do I do to deserve this, Susan? Thank you, Dick. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. Yeah. I appreciate
Dick
being
John
on. Thank Kowski, you for the
nice enough to come in. We turn our attention now to Jeff Swenson. Jeff Swenson is the athletic director at Augsburg University and wrestling coach for many, many years there as well. And I hope you caught the end of that, Jeff. We all need to laugh once in a while. Dick Jankowski can make us laugh.
There you go. He's a tough act to follow.
He is a tough act to follow. And you're following that with – I mean, this is I got to know this man that you'd known for years, but it's a harrowing and interesting story. We did the story on television the other night, and I had quite a response to it. It went viral, as they say. Donnie Wickman was a wrestler at Augsburg. He became an assistant coach and a renowned assistant coach at that, and then became a salesman in the wrestling industry where he sold gear. But before we get into why we did the story the other night, explain Donnie Wickman, who he was from the time you met him until now. What did you see about this guy that stood out?
You know, he was always just a special man. I left Augsburg in 84, and Donnie came in that fall. I actually recruited him and then didn't get a full-time job at Augsburg and went out to Rosemont High School. And after 2 years, the wrestling program, we were runner-up in the country in 84, and after 2 years, the wrestling program ended up third in the conference and like 17th or 18th in the nation, and Augsburg called me back and asked me if I'd be interested in taking the wrestling job full-time again. And I met with one person. I just knew this guy was special. Everybody around him brought everybody to a new level with the kind of person that he was. And so I remember we sat and we had dinner and we talked and talked and talked. And I said, Donnie, if he was going to transfer to Arizona State, and I said, if you stay at Augsburg, I'll come back to Augsburg. And we shook hands, and the rest is history, as they say. You know, he became an All-American for us. And I always have said, you know, we never won any national championships until Donnie Wickman was on the coaching staff. And then we started winning them, and we won 10 national championships in his 19 years, you know, when he was with Oxford.
What made him special as a coach?
Intense, but yet a friend to all. And a really caring friend, and he could light up the room with a smile. He could walk in, and you could be having the worst day imaginable. You might be, you know, watching your weight or cutting weight, or might be a tough day for you because we're already into our third workout. And Donnie would come walk in the room with a smile, and everybody, and it made everybody better.
And so he goes through this, and he becomes not just a coach, but fanatical about conditioning and staying in shape. And he and his wife, Mindy, they didn't have children, but they certainly have logged a lot of miles together, literally. And he becomes a biker, a triathlete type, and a lifter. I mean, sculpted is the best way to describe his physique, wasn't it?
Yeah, you're right. He was the most – and when he was coaching – he was still the most fit guy in the room.
Huh.
You know, I had all these fabulous wrestlers, and we won 10 national titles, like I mentioned, you know, when Donnie was coaching. You know, yet he was still the guy that was in better shape than anybody else. And, you know, and he also had a following. You know, the guys would always, in the off season, they would always want to lift with Donnie. So they would figure out when he was going to come in after work, and then that's when they would lift. You know, and he really, you know, really helped the program that way. He was just a tireless worker. He had a full-time job, and yet he, you know, he really was working full-time at Augsburg as an assistant wrestling coach as well.
And 3 years ago, he's out on one of his famous, you know, 40-mile bike rides, and he gets a pain on his right side of his face, and he gets back and says something's not quite right, and there begins the new saga and the new chapter in his life. Take us from there. He goes in, he says, this doesn't feel right. And he goes into the doctor and his life changes. Explain what happened.
Yeah, you know, well, he came home and he said, Mindy, something's not right, to his wife, Mindy. And Mindy immediately took him to the emergency room, and they admitted him. And of course, because it was the left side went numb, they thought it was maybe heart to begin with. And he had an MRI and found out that he had a golf ball sized tumor in the right side of his brain, and it had to be removed. And you're right, that changed everything. It was life changing. You know, he came out of that surgery and they got 95% of the tumor they removed. And the doctor gave him the statistics of glioblastoma 4, which aren't very flattering. And Donnie said, I'm not going to be any statistic. I'm going to beat this thing. And that's how he took it on from that point on. He's just a warrior. You know, we can all learn, you know, from Donnie when he took on this fight. I hope for everybody that everybody can fight like Donnie Wickman.
And he has fought and fought and fought. And he has been, he will be, he recognized this fall kind of the ultimate honor and really, I mean, almost unheard of that an assistant coach, but as an assistant coach, he's going into the National Division III Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Yep. And a well-deserved and well-earned honor. You know, we wouldn't have been successful without Donnie Wickman, Mike. You know, Donnie was that integral to the program. You know, we wouldn't have had the championships. We wouldn't have had the success, you know, that Augsburg Wrestling has and continues to have because of the foundation that Donnie helped build. You know, I never really, you know, looked at, you know, I always used to say it was, you know, when we received honors, it was coaches of the year because I surrounded myself with some great assistants throughout time, you know, and Donnie led the way.
And people might be asking at this point in the interview, saying, well, why not just have Donnie on to talk about it? Well, Donnie's not healthy. I mean, he's not in a good place in terms of the energy and what it takes to speak and do an interview like this. But he is. I interviewed him a couple weeks ago with you, Jeff. But his spirit is big, and so is Mindy's. And I think what struck me was, and I guess I'm not surprised by this, but the outpouring from the wrestling community and the Augsburg community. Comment on what that has been like to observe.
Well, he's had such incredible support, and actually the support starts. You mentioned Mindy, starts with Mindy. She leads the pack. She's you know, as Donnie said when we did a takedown cancer event when we wrestled our arch rival Warburg. You know, I wouldn't have made it this far without Mindy. You know, she's just been his rock. You know, and you know, you're right. One point of note, Mike. Donnie Wickman is sitting right next to me right now.
Oh my!
You know, I'm at Donnie and Mindy's house.
Oh my! I hope they're listening, man.
You know, and
now
Donnie's,
you're gonna get me emotional, buddy.
And Donnie's got a little smile on his face, knowing that I'm talking to you, and what a great program it was that you ran, you know, ran for him the other night.
Well. To see he and Mindy and to understand in about 5 minutes what their relationship is about and the, you know, after he was diagnosed, Jeff, and you know this, and Mindy, I mean, they went to France and biked the mountains.
Yep. Well, they took on the fight. They fought the good fight, and they weren't going to, you know, let it deter from them having a great life together, and they didn't. You know, and they, you know, Donnie and Mindy, I mentioned when the other night when, you know, we were together, you know, when you say Donnie, you say Mindy, you know, yeah. And they took on the fight together, and they've been fighting it, you know, going on four years, and it's been a great fight in the wrestling community. You know, I don't want to slight other sports, you know, because I know everybody says that every sport.
Yeah, everybody's special. I get that, but yeah.
But I'll tell you, that wrestling community is something. You know, I can't explain it. It's kind of unexplainable, but the support that Donnie has received, you know, has been incredible from the wrestling community and from, you know, Donnie sold wrestling equipment to dads or to when they were kids. And now they're grown men who have kids that he's still selling wrestling equipment to. You know, I mean,
yeah, I didn't realize how much he'd impact because he knew all, he was at all the youth tournaments.
Yeah. I mean, you walked into the gymnasium of any youth tournament, and who did you see? Donnie Wicklund. You know, I still say that, you know, overall in Minnesota, he might be the most recognizable face in Minnesota wrestling because he's been so involved. And you know, that big old smile. Every time somebody walks in the gym, I mean, he gave that smile to every single dad, every single kid. He knew how those kids were doing. And, you know, and a lot of times, you know what? They got their first pair of wrestling shoes for free from Donnie.
I found that out too after we did that story, how many people reached out to me and said just that, you know, because he wanted to see kids get a chance to succeed, didn't he?
Yeah, Donnie's giving me the money sign right now. So, you know, he said he didn't give them all for free.
Okay, he did okay with it. Well, Jeff, we appreciate it very much, and send our best to Donnie and Mindy there. And I know there's a GoFundMe page as well through that you can access through Augsburg, right?
Yes. Yep, you can get on Augsburg's website and just go to the website talking about Donnie's event and. And then you can click on the GoFundMe page and help Donnie and Mindy out. Anything would be, so appreciated.
Yeah, Jeff, appreciate all that you do, and please send our best to them. You've been such an integral part of their lives in this story, of course, as it's evolved. But thank you for shedding some light on a special guy, and send them our best.
Will do. I'll take care. I'll do that, Mike. Thank you.
You bet. Jeff Swenson, the athletic director and former wrestling coach at Augsburg University, and I spent that time with Donnie and Mindy. A couple weeks ago, we did the story on Monday, and we had an amazing outpouring of reaction to it. And it's on our website, WCCO.com. But life doesn't make sense a lot of times. Even now, when he's fought this for 4 years, you can still see the sculpted body. You know, you can still see that this is a guy wore down by certainly a disease, but you can still see the athlete in him. And when you look at the pictures of when he was not long ago riding his bike with his wife, who was in terrific shape as well, and you just see somebody so just love life, right? Get on the bike and go 40 miles, go run, go lift, go do those things. And I know that that's independent of brain cancer, and there's nothing that seemingly to this point in our medical history that we can say, well, this would have prevented it. I know all those things, but when you talk about somebody that was in just such great physical shape, and at the end of the day, it doesn't matter when something this insidious comes your way. But he has... he's been a beacon, man, and he has been. I didn't know him before this, but I know that wrestling community pretty well, and it's something when one of theirs is in need, because they are tenacious when they wrestle each other, and they are tenacious, and they are absolute in how they feel and their pride for that sport, and they will fight you one day and be your best friend the next, but the wrestling community to watch the way that they've stepped up as well. And Nick Slack's done a wonderful job, Augsburg wrestler, of helping organize and keep and shed light on just a tumultuous and difficult story, but a story that's necessary to continue to tell. Henry Lake is in next. We'll get a preview from him next. Welcome back, Sports to the Max. Henry Lake coming up next, coming off that tough story, tough interview with Jeff Swenson, but we move on in this world. And Henry, you were at the Summer Games. What were your observations?
My observations. There we go. That's a good question. My observations, number one, the Minnesota Timberwolves have traditionally or historically in my opinion, when it comes to NBA Summer League, have never really fielded Summer League teams that have a lot of talent that I could see emerge into being actual NBA talent. I think that this summer that's a little bit different from the perspective of there's a few guys that they have on their Summer League roster that I view as potentially projects, and I mean good projects, and being guys that maybe they could develop into being something, number one. Number two, you see a little bit of the vision of how possibly the Timberwolves want to utilize their roster and their lineups from the standpoint of when you look at Pablo Prigioni and him running the Summer League team and being a guy that's going to be on that bench with Ryan Saunders and David Vanderpool and everybody else, that they want to run and gun, that they want to get up and down. And the way that they're utilizing Josh Okogie and some of the other individuals on the Summer League roster, I found it fun.
At least tells you what the style is going to look
like.
Yeah,
in terms of the style, I think it could be fun. And they talk about, they use that term a lot, positionless players.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I've heard that one a lot already. Yeah.
Which means a lot of interchangeable parts. That is something that you can clearly see if you've been watching NBA TV, if you've been watching the ESPN, ESPN2, watching the Summer League squads and the games. That's something that excites me a little bit from this perspective. I don't look at the Timberwolves as being a team that going into this season, you're going to look at Jeff Teague or whoever is going to be, quote, the point guard and feel like they have to be an influential factor in all of the ball games.
Well, they better you see what I'm saying? Because they don't know when Teague's going to show up to play.
I know. He's been very inconsistent.
Are you in today or not? Well, let me think about it, you know?
But it's been a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun hanging out there in Las Vegas and just getting an opportunity to kind of mix and mingle with the new coaching staff and some of the new guys. Kevin Burleson is back here in Minneapolis.
Yeah, on the bench there, yeah.
Yeah, I talked to him a couple of times, and it was a lot of fun just kind of, you know, talking to those guys and also talking to other coaches in the building. You know, I saw Clem Haskins spend about a good 30 to 45 minutes with him.
You don't know who you're going to run into.
Exactly. Yeah. Bill Self.
That's the funny thing, because this is a basketball junkies. Right? I've been to the Vegas games. And you also got all these.
You're in heaven.
You got these European scouts. You know, you might not know them, but you don't realize that all these European teams are scouting this because they're going, not many of these guys are going to make an NBA roster. We want to be first up, right?
I was in basketball heaven for the last 4 days. And to sit there and
I hope you got a little time outside of basketball to enjoy yourself.
Oh, I went and worked out. I got an opportunity to. I was actually at the gym working out alongside Reed Travis.
Oh, sure, yeah. He's down there with Atlanta, right?
Yeah, so the Hawks and the Dallas Mavericks, yeah. They were both in my hotel. I was staying at the Palazzo, so it was a lot of fun.
I
actually was in a recruiting conversation for 30 minutes with Clem Haskins and Bill Self.
Well, and Clem was there just for fun, or?
He was there with his wife, Yvette, and they were supporting Dwayne Casey. This is a who's who of basketball.
And Self and Clem, are they friends? Or?
Yeah, oh, of course. I mean, I mean, it's... You know how it is.
Obviously, they're different eras, but...
It's a big fraternity when it comes to basketball.
Yeah, but I hope you had time to do some more than just basketball and working out.
Nah, that was all that it was,
you
man.
Just locked it down,
huh? It was basketball, workouts.
And boy, oh boy, you are disciplined for the station, man. We appreciate you so much. So many people would have gone out there and they'd have said, I'm in Las Vegas.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
But not anyway, man.
But I will say this. Saturday was the first day that I got there. It was all about the UFC. I did not even go over to Thomas & Mack or Cox Pavilion that first day. I went to T-Mobile Arena, and I watched UFC 239. That was
okay,
fun.
But still, I mean, everything you did was you can write off. I guess that's the good news.
We'll talk to the boss, man.
Yeah. I was hoping you'd have a little fun there, too.
What's in the back sound and everything, man? Yeah, of course.
What's coming up tonight?
What is coming up tonight? Well, I'll talk about some of the things, my observations in Vegas. We'll get back to talking about Twins baseball because they're back in action, you know, like everybody else in Major League Baseball tomorrow. There's only one game on the slate tonight.
Yeah, I think two, isn't there? I think there's one.
Is it two?
Anyway, but yeah, okay. Texas is playing. They're beating Houston 5-0.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that. I think it's a big-time series between the Twins and the Indians and no better, to me, series to start off the second half of the season because when you want to talk about being battle-tested, it's all about Twins facing the Indians.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Yeah,
I'm looking forward to it. Series, I'm looking forward to it.
It's not a catastrophe if the Twins don't win the series, but if the Indians do win the series, if they win two out of three at least, you got a really interesting couple of months coming up.
I think the Twins fans should embrace this series. That's what they should do.
Well, plus, you know, both these teams are probably going to make deals before the deadline, too.
I'm with you.
And this will help define that a little bit, too, and just say, you know, if the Twins would sweep Cleveland, that changes their dynamics a little bit.
And did you see the big deal tonight in the world of the NBA?
Russell Westbrook. I know, right? Houston, they weren't kidding when they said Paul and Harden weren't getting along, huh?
That'll probably come up on the show at some point, too.
And they get some draft picks, too. I didn't see what the picks were, but...
It sounds like a couple of first-round picks and then a couple of first-round swaps.
Yeah, okay.
Because OKC's taking on Chris Paul's money. That's a lot of money he's
getting. That's a lot of money. And OKC took a step back. But, boy, I tell you, Timberwolves, everybody else in the West has seemed like got better again.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.